The Money Show.
Small business.
With Pablo Fitidis.
Now, if I didn't know that you were a teetotaler, if I didn't know that you were somebody who never lets anything stronger than a mild cappuccino cross their lips, Pablo, I'd be concerned. I'd be concerned. Because you've sent me a note tonight saying, right now, AI is more foam than caffeine in the digitization cappuccino. Have you been spending time in an advertising agency or something? What on earth are you talking about?
So, Bruce, when you're on the go, you constantly find yourself in a situation where you stop by a well-known coffee shop, you pop into the coffee shop, you then face the medium, tall, grande versions. You need the caffeine because that's the job of a coffee, to keep you active, to keep you going, to keep you alert. You order the coffee, and when you put the stirring stick in, it goes down and down and down, and you realize that about 71% of the cup is full of foam. There's very little caffeine. And it got me thinking exactly around where we are with AI, because right now, over the last 7-8 months, with a deep dive into it, all I'm seeing is foam. That's not to say it won't become caffeine, but if you're worried about AI, if you're concerned about AI, don't overinvest in it at this point in time. Observe it, learn about it, keep a mindset on it. But honestly, it seems to be more foam than caffeine in the cappuccino.
I'm so delighted that you are bringing attention to the hype cycle of new ideas. Because so often, and we've seen it come through in the garbage around cryptocurrency and NFTs and the nonsense that people waste money on, suddenly AI is the new thing because it grabs a headline. And AI is a new thing and it's important and it will change the world. But we get stuck in a hype cycle in the same way as we did with Beyond Meat and all sorts of other things that come to the market. We go, finally, vegans have got a thing that tastes like real meat. Everyone can be happy. And then people overcapitalize and overinvest, and suddenly, actually, it's not that lekker. And it's a short-term trend. And it's there forever. You know, there will be change. But in the short term, we over-exaggerate the immediate benefits, and we overinvest, and we overdo it. And you end up losing a lot of money, and you end up actually being, I think, quite underwhelmed by some fairly phenomenal innovations that are coming our way, but we overestimate their importance immediately.
You know, Bruce, I think the biggest cost, it's less about the money and the hope of what it can bring, or the fear of missing out. It's more about the fact that it can distract you from the two most valuable things you have, and that's your time and attention. And every time there's a hype cycle that emerges on a new fad, a new industry, a new technology, a new political idea, I think it's so important as a business owner to be very aware of where your time and attention gets absorbed. Because if you look really carefully at what's there, as opposed to what's practical and what you have real control over implementing or executing, those gaps are enormous and time erodes very quickly. You know, more or less, when was it? About 3 months ago, 4 months ago, 5 months ago, with ChatGPT having been in the market for probably about 3 months, 4 months, you had a very somber looking Sam Altman, who's the CEO of OpenAI that runs the ChatGPT AI product itself, present himself in Congress, and in a very somber, serious way, turn around and say, you know, I'm fearful if we don't regulate this thing, it could be very, very ugly what comes out of it. And everyone then rushed towards paying attention to what that means. But if you actually look at how AI works and how it's built, where in effect you're creating a piece of code or a bot that then develops further pieces of codes that are smarter than it, they kill off and eliminate the pieces of code that aren't smart enough. And over a period of time, it really does run away to the extent where it's not something that can be easily regulated. You can get caught up in that rabbit hole and you can go deep down into a place and space that no one really understands and that is of no value at all. Or alternatively, you can just sit back and say, the function and job of AI is simply to digitize parts of my business or my product. And if you look at the principles behind digitization, that's actually far more useful and interesting to put time and attention on than wondering about whether you'll have a business tomorrow or not because of AI.
Yeah, and AI, the hype cycle of AI, and yeah, it changes the future. And it's kind of changed now, and lots of people are using it very effectively, but it's become a better Google for most people. And I'm still not convinced of its accuracy. I still am apprehensive about it because we haven't even, I think, come to terms, and I'm speaking personally here. I'm digitizing more and more. You'd be very proud of me. You used to shout at me about my paper diaries, which I still keep. But I run dual systems now, and one day I may let go of the security blanket of paper. But we are hesitant to digitize, and we kind of think we can just leapfrog to the next stage. And I'm not sure that we've evolved enough, frankly, as individuals and businesses into this anticipated new world.
No, I don't think we have. And you know, what's so interesting is, I've had recently quite a bit of engagement with the, let's call it, a London fintech city, the City of London fintech hub, where arguably some of the most digitized banks in the world exist. And they really do exist in that environment. They truly are digital. But when you look at the main banks, the big service providers out there, your engagement with them initially is always digital until suddenly it's not. And then you revert to paper, to printing, to signing documents, to post, to delivery of documents, and so it goes. So I think we often imagine everything to be far more digitized than it otherwise really is. But again, Bruce, and I'm going to say this very cautiously, if you don't adopt a mindset around adopting and adapting to technology, embracing it, and digitizing parts of your business or elements of your business where there is a real business case that you can improve through digitization, it's very likely you're going to find yourself in the next 5 to 10 years in business still, competing still, but with increasingly lower and lower profitability. Because I think the most impressive forms of digitization are those that we don't see, and very often they're involved in the operational processes of a business. If you get it right over there, there are significant cost savings, there are significant productivity improvements, and all of that's going to weigh in on your eventual profitability of the business. So you still have to have your mind on it, but don't get absorbed into the hype of it.
Okay. Use it. Don't get sucked in. How then do you build useful AI? Remember in the early days of data, people say, oh no, we're data driven. We make our decisions based on data. And then you say, which data? And they say, well, we're not quite sure. There's so much of it. So we kind of like pick some and then we say that's data and then we make decisions. And still, I don't think we use data properly. In the same ways, we are in the 1% stages of beginning to tinker with the potentiality of AI. How do we build useful AI in the same way as you build useful engines? What does Jeff Bezos say? You've got to listen not only to the data that shouts, but you've got to listen to the data that whispers. There is so much information. You've got to be able to truly identify what is important and throw away the rubbish. How do we build AI that is actually functional so we don't get caught up in the hype?
Okay, so let's just call AI a digitized process. It might be a smart process.
No, it's not nearly as sexy. I'm sorry. It's not nearly hypey enough. But yes, it's a digitized process. You're right.
It's a digitized process. It probably has some functionality in it by way of mathematical formulae, which we like to term as algorithms. So it's an AI. It's a learning piece of digital technology with a mathematical function called an algorithm in it. And we can start getting wrapped up in all that extremely sexy, very exciting language that gets money released by FOMO-based investors in the VCPE market who don't want to miss out on this new wave, this next wave. If we remove all of that and we go right down to the absolute basics of how you digitize anything, it always starts by understanding what business you're in. And the business you're in has nothing to do with your product. It has nothing to do with your service. It has everything to do with the customer you want to own and dominate. And that mindset immediately puts you in a winning position, because if you build your business from a customer back to the product or service, and you understand two things: what problem do you solve with that customer through the product or service you're going to build to solve that problem? And how do they behave, Bruce, when it comes to buying the product or service you are going to build in order to solve the problem they have? If you map out that exact process around how they think about information, in other words, where do they get access to what you do and how you do it to solve the problem they have? Where do they get information around how you engage? Information around how you fulfill your promise? How does a product, if a product is involved, move from you to them and be of value to them? And then finally, how does the money move from them to you? If you map out those three processes around all engagements with your clients, you're going to start identifying collections of activities that lend themselves to being digitized, either by buying a piece of software off the shelf. So it might be a marketing automation software. It might be some software you use around your website. It might be your accounting software that integrates with your bank statements in order to do automatic digitized reconciliations. If you start first with the blueprint, the architectural blueprint of around who is the customer, what problem do I solve for them, and what is the commercial experience I need to deliver to win them each and every time, that then informs you around which activities you can start to digitize. And the next decision is, do I use an off the shelf piece of software, or do I build it through native code and begin the process of digitization? Those same principles apply in the AI world as much as they do in the software world when it comes to digitization.
Here's the problem, a bit like particularly digital marketing. You know where to start, and that's fine. But my goodness gracious me, it is a bottomless pit. At some point, you know where to start, but you need to know where to kind of end as well. Not a hard stop necessarily, but know where to pause, know where to flex, know where to have an inflection point. Mm. How do you make those choices, particularly in a world of the great unknown?
Yeah, completely. And Bruce, here's the problem. You've got to beware of, let's call it, false prophets or silver bullets. Because when you get approached by an organization that offers a piece of software to solve a business problem for you, unless you yourself have understood what the business problem is, and unless you yourself have literally mapped it out by organizing sequential activities that can be measured that get that job done, what are you actually buying? Are you going to be informed by the piece of software how to run your business, or are you going to be informed by your customer who wants you to create a very well-specified experience for them as the guiding mark around which piece of software you're going to buy, where it begins, where it ends, what its functionality ought to be? I think the answer always lies by going right back to why do you exist, who the customer is, and be guided by them rather than the software salesman.
Pavlo Fotidis from Auric Business Accelerator on a Thursday night. Deep wisdom inspired by bad coffee shop owners who put too much foam in his coffee. Carry on, guys. He makes it interesting for us when you upset him. Thanks, Pav.